نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Then to continue with this annoying echo on al-Usul al-Thalatha of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullah, then we were on the second of the three fundamental principles. And last week we had the section for the evidence for the Shahada. We started on the first of the levels of the Deen of Islam, the first level being Islam. And that Islam is of five pillars. The first of them being the Shahada. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. And we had the evidence for the testification for the Shahada, which was the ayah, Shahid Allahu annahu la ilaha illahu. والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. The ayah from Surah Ali Imran, and the saying of the author in explanation of that, ومعناه لا معبود بحق إلا الله لا إله نافيا جميع ما يعبد من دون الله إلا الله مثبتا العبادة له وحده لا شريك له في عبادته كما أنه ليس له في شيء ليس له شريك في ملكه. And its meaning, the meaning of the Shahada, its crucial point, is that there is none who has the right to be worshipped in truth except Allah. So La ilaha is a negation of everything which is worshipped besides Allah. And Illallah is an affirmation of worship for Him alone, with no partner attributed to Him, no sharer given to him in worship of him, just as he has no sharer in his kingship, in his sovereignty. Shaykh Fawzan, in his explanation last week, he made the point that people go wrong in this most basic of fundamentals of Islam. They go wrong with regard to it, wrong in understanding the meaning of the Shahada, La ilaha illallah. The correct, as we heard, the correct meaning is لا معبود بحق إلا الله. Nothing truly has the right to be worshipped except Allah. That is the meaning of the Shahada. And he made the point that some people misunderstand, as we see these days, people mistranslating that there is no God but God, or the like of that. And if you ask them what that means, they say it means there's no, Allah is the only Lord, and the like of that. So people misunderstand this very basic, most fundamental basic concept in Islam. So Shaykh Fawzan said, one wrong understanding of this Shahada is that people may understand wrongly that it means that nothing is worshipped except Allah. And the answer to that is that we see with our own eyes that there are many things upon the face of this earth which are worshipped besides Allah, many idols, false objects of worship which people worship. So that understanding, or that explanation of the Shahada, that there is nothing worshipped except Allah, that would mean that all these things that are worshipped besides Allah, they are Allah. Which of course is like the extreme Sufis and grave worshippers, which some of them actually say. It looks like it's an object of worship, it looks like something besides Allah, but actually everything is Allah. This extreme kufr of theirs. So Shaykh Fawzan stressed the point that the meaning of the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, is nothing has the right to be worshipped, nothing is truly worshipped except Allah. And he mentioned in the ayah that we heard, that this is something which Allah witnesses to, which his angels witness to, and which the people of knowledge witness to. And thus their witness is sufficient. And after that, anyone who disagrees, no notice is taken of their disagreement. Anyone who claims that worship can be directed to other than Allah in any shape or form, or with any different name or the like, no notice is taken of them. After the witness of Allah, the witness of his angels, and the witness of the people of knowledge. A true and correct witness. And we also had This being just a summary of some of the points we had that Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned. As for the Ulul Ilm, those people of knowledge who bear witness, that no doubt the angels are people of knowledge, they bear witness, people of knowledge and truth. And the people of knowledge from the people of this earth bear witness likewise to it. And he made it clear that what is meant by the Ahlul Ilm, or the Ulul Ilm, the possessors of knowledge, means the possessors of knowledge of Islamic knowledge. Not the possessors of knowledge of medicine, not the possessors of knowledge of engineering, and so on and so forth. What is meant in the texts is possessors of the knowledge that was sent down by Allah the Most High, the legislation. He further stressed the point that it is a very wrong understanding that people have that the Shahada la ilaha illallah means there is no Lord except Allah, or there is no provider except Allah. Because these are things that even the people of Shirk in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they affirmed. They affirmed these things. They affirmed, as is shown by a number of ayahs, that Allah is the sole creator. Allah is the sole provider. The people of Shirk whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought affirmed that. They didn't deny it. They didn't deny that Allah is the Lord, creator, provider. However, they refused to say La ilaha illallah. So this shows that the meaning of La ilaha illallah is not Allah is the sole creator, the sole provider. Otherwise they wouldn't have refused to say it. They agreed with that. So rather, the true meaning is, well, as the Sheikh made clear, the true meaning has two essential parts, negation and affirmation. That it is negation of the worship of everything that's worshipped, and an affirmation of worship for Allah alone. That He alone, all worship is directed to Allah alone. Then the author, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he continues what occurs here on page 169, in the Egyptian edition, page 131. وَتَفْسِيرُهَا الَّذِي يُوَضِّحُهَا قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي فَإِنَّهُ سَيَهْدِينَ وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي عَقِبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِئُونَ الآيتين من سورة الزخرف. He said, and its explanation, which will make it clear, to continue from the point last week, at the point about the Shahada, and that it contains negation and affirmation. He said, and its explanation, which will make it clear, is his saying, He the Most High. Then he quotes two ayahs from Surah Az-Zukhruf, the 43rd Surah, ayahs 26 and 28, or ayahs 26 to 28, three ayahs. Al-Ayat al-Thalath, three ayahs from Surah Az-Zukhruf, ayahs 26 to 28. With the explanation, and remember when Ibrahim said to his father and to his people, I am totally free of everything that you worship except for the one who created me, for he will guide me. And Allah made it a saying to persist amongst his progeny, so that they might remember and return to obedience to their Lord. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, in explanation of this ayah, the best thing to explain the Qur'an is the Qur'an. So La ilaha illallah has been explained by Allah in the Qur'an. And that is in the saying of his Khalil, his specially chosen one, in Ibrahim alayhi salam, alayhi salatu wassalam, in that which Allah mentioned from him. Innani bara'un. In the saying of Ibrahim alayhi salam to his father and to his people, I am totally free. Shaykh Fawzan said, this is nafi, this is negation. La ilaha. It has the same meaning as la ilaha. None has the right to be worshipped. Illa alladhi fatarani. The next part of the ayah, with the meaning, except for the one who created me. He stated that he was free, totally free of everything which you people worship. So Shaykh said that is negation, has the meaning of la ilaha. Illa alladhi fatarani. Except for the one who created me. Shaykh said meaning illa Allah, except for Allah. This is affirmation. He freed himself from the worship of everything that's worshipped besides Allah. Except, and he affirmed, the worship of Allah alone. Shaykh Fawzan said, so this ayah is an explanation of the meaning of La ilaha illallah completely. It's a full and complete, it's an explanation of La ilaha illallah. That's where Shaykh Fawzan ends the explanation of that particular ayah, and just as some side points. And with regard to Shaykh Muhammad Aman al-Jami, rahimahullah, then he said, referring to the words of the author Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he said, referring to his words, وَتَفْسِيرُهَا الَّذِي يُوَدِّحُهَا قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, and its explanation, which will make it clear, is his saying he the Most High. Shaykh Muhammad Aman al-Jami said, rahimahullah, he said, the Shaykh was meaning to say that this saying, La ilaha illallah, is explained in many eyes of the Quran. If someone wants to know what is, or if there's some dispute, or someone wants to know what is the meaning of the Shahada, what is the true meaning? People dispute, what's the true meaning? The Shaykh is making the point, it's explained, its meaning is explained in many ayahs of the Quran. And he mentioned some of them. I mean, this ayah and the one that follows are just two of the ayahs out of the many ayahs which explain the meaning of the Shahada. Then he said, carrying on after some speech, he said, with regard to the part of the ayah, وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي أَقِبِهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, with the explanation, and he, Allah, he made it a saying to persist in the progeny, in the descendants and offspring, the descendants of Ibrahim. He made that a saying to persist amongst them, so that they should turn back. Shaykh Muhammad Aman said, and this nation, in this nation here of the Muslims, of Islam, and this nation is from the progeny of Ibrahim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he was the father of the prophets. I mean, he was the father of the prophets who came after him. So this saying, La ilaha illallah, that is, it has remained with all of the prophets. And it is found in the last of the nations, which is this nation. The saying, La ilaha illallah, has remained along with its meaning. Along with its meaning. Also, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Qasim, he said in explanation of this part of the text, he said, so it becomes clear that the meaning of the saying La ilaha illallah is to free oneself from the worship of everything besides Allah, and to make worship with all of its types for Allah alone. Then he carried on, and then he said, and the meaning of La ilaha illallah is an nafi wal ithbat, is a negation and an affirmation. And it is al-wala wal-bara, and it is alliance on that basis, and cutting off, having enmity upon that basis. And whoever believes that merely by saying it, merely by saying the Shahada, a person will enter paradise and will not enter the fire, then he has made a mistake. Someone who thinks that, if you just say Shahada, I mean, without any conditions whatsoever, as we will see later, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions the conditions for La ilaha illallah. That somebody says it, unrestrictedly. They just say it on their tongue. Anybody who thinks that you can just say it upon your tongue, you will then enter paradise and will not enter the fire. Then he has made an error. Because the saying of Tawheed has things which will break it. Things which will take a person outside of the religion. Even if he says La ilaha illallah and knows its meaning. Then continuing back to the main text, the saying of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he quotes a second ayah which gives the meaning of the Shahada. He said, وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَنْ لَا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَأْتَخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَقُولُوا اشْهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ. Al-Ayah in Surah Ali Imran. He said, and his saying, He the Most High. And he quotes the ayah from Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 64, with the explanation. Say, O people of the scripture, come to a word of justice between us, that we will single out Allah with all worship and will not worship anything else besides Him. Nor will we take one another as lords besides Allah. Then if they turn away, then say, bear witness that we are Muslims, submitting to Allah and making our worship purely and sincerely for Him. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, said in explanation, his saying, He the Most High, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Part of the ayah with the explanation, say, O people of the book, people of the scripture, come to a word of justice between us, that we will single out Allah with all worship and will not worship anything else besides Him. Shaykh Fawzan said, this ayah from Surah Ali Imran came down with regard to the deputation of Najran. It's a deputation that you find in the books of Sirah. It came right just before the death, the year before, or shortly before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a deputation of Christians from Najran. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Shaykh Fawzan said, this ayah came down with regard to the deputation of Najran, who were Christians, those who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they debated with him and they asked him questions, and a long conversation occurred between them and him, and they were Christians from the Christians of the Arabs. And at the end, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam requested from them Al-Mubahala. I mean, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called them, gave the evidences, and they refused, obstinately refused what he was calling them to, even though they knew in their hearts it was the truth. So they refused. So in the end of all that, at the end, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the Shaykh said, he called for Al-Mubahala. He called for them to engage in Al-Mubahala, calling down Allah's curses upon whoever was lying. The Shaykh gives the evidence for that. فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْا نَدْعُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ ثُمَّ نَبْتَهِلْ فَنَجْعَلْ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. Same surah, Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 61. With the explanation, then say, come, let us call our children and your children, and our women folk and your women folk, and ourselves and yourselves, and then let us invoke and call down Allah's curse upon the liars. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, So when he requested al-mubahala, calling down curses upon the liars from them, then they feared. And they did not engage in calling down the curses along with him, alayhi salatu wassalam. Rather, they handed over the jizya to him. And they agreed, they wouldn't agree, they wouldn't do that. They said, we'll make an agreement, we'll pay the jizya to you. We'll accept Muslim rule over us and we'll give you the jizya. We'll hand over jizya. We won't call down Allah's curses upon the liars. They wouldn't agree to do that. The Shaykh said, because they knew that they were upon falsehood and that he was the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Shaykh said, he's saying, nabtahil, meaning, nad'u billa'ana ala al-kathibi minna. Saying nabtahil means that let us call the curse down upon the liar from us. Shaykh said, and they knew that they were the ones who were the liars. And if they had engaged in calling down curses, Allah's curse, it would have descended upon them. And we said, rather, fire would have descended upon them and consumed them there in their places. So therefore they said, no, we won't do so. Rather, we will hand over the jizya. Special tax, the jizya, we will hand it over. And we will not engage in calling Allah's curses down upon the liars. Shaykh said, so the Prophet ﷺ, he accepted the payment of jizya from them. So it had become clear to them that Allah had indeed commanded him with what was contained in this ayah. What was contained in the ayah? The command to come to the saying of justice between them, of worshipping Allah alone and not associating anything with him. That became clear to them. That he was indeed, this was something Allah had commanded him with. Shaykh Fawzan said, and this ayah contains the meaning of La ilaha illallah. None has the right to be worshipped except Allah. So he's saying, "An la na'buda," with the meaning that we will not worship. This is a negation. And he's saying, "Illallah," with the meaning except Allah. This is affirmation. So it contains again nafi and ithbat. Exactly the same as the shahada, "La ilaha illallah." And this is the adl, this is the justice for which the heavens and the earth are established. So the heavens and the earth are established upon Tawheed, singling out Allah with all worship, and upon justice, Al-Adl. So we do not associate anything in worship along with him. Neither the Al-Masih, neither the Messiah, whom they claim is a Lord and whom they worship besides Allah, nor anyone besides Al-Masih, nor do we worship anyone besides the Messiah, not even Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam, nor anyone from the prophets, nor anyone from the righteous people, nor anyone from the awliya, from the beloved servants of Allah. We do not worship any of them. Allah na'buda illallah wa la nushrika bihi shay'a. With the explanation that we will not worship except Allah and we will not associate anything at all with him. Then Shaykh Fawzan quotes the next part of the ayah, وَلَا يَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. The explanation, and we will not take one another as lords besides Allah. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning just as you, referring to Christians, just as you have taken, the people of the book, just as you have taken the rabbis and monks as lords besides Allah the Most High. And the Shaykh quotes an ayah as proof for this. اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إلها واحدا. Surah At-Tawbah, the 9th surah, ayah 31. With the explanation, they took They took their rabbis and their monks as lords besides Allah, and also the Messiah, the son of Maryam. And they were not commanded except that they should worship a single God. Shaykh Fawzan said. And the taking of rabbis and monks as lords besides Allah is something which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained to be their obeying them in declaring lawful whatever Allah, in declaring lawful that which Allah has made forbidden. So it's taking the people of the book, taking their rabbis and monks as lords besides Allah. He said, the Prophet, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, explained what was meant by that. To be the fact that they obeyed them in making lawful that which Allah had made forbidden, and in making forbidden that which Allah had made lawful. In a footnote here, they mention, this is based upon a hadith, they said, refer to the hadith of Adi ibn Hatim, radiallahu anhu, which was reported by Tirmidhi, as hadith 3095. This hadith was declared Hassan, good, by Shaykh al-Alban, rahimahullah. And in it, there occurs that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, أَمَّا إِنَّهُمْ لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَعْبُدُونَهُمْ وَلَكِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا أَحَلُّوا لَهُمْ شَيْئًا إِسْتَحَلُّوهُ وَإِذَا حَرَّمُوا عَلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا حَرَّمُوهُ. The longer hadith, the hadith of Ali ibn Hatim, who used to be a Christian, and he accepted Islam. So when he heard this ayah, then he raised an objection, or he asked a question to understand. I mean, we used to be Christians, we hadn't used to worship, our people of knowledge. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained what was meant by that. So he said, they had not used to directly worship them, but rather when their priests and their monks, when they declared something lawful for them, then they would declare it lawful. And when they declared something forbidden for them, they would take it as being, well, he said, when they made something forbidden for them, then they would take it as being forbidden. That is what is meant. Whatever their priests and rabbis declared lawful, the people would follow them upon that, take it as being lawful. Whatever they declared forbidden, they would accept what they said and take it as being forbidden. Shaykh Fawzan said, this is the meaning of their taking them as lords besides Allah. Since they used to declare lawful that which Allah had made forbidden, and they used to declare forbidden things which Allah had made lawful. So there, the people obeying them upon that is taking them as lords. Because the one who legislates for the people and declares things permissible for the people and declares things forbidden is Allah the Perfect and Most High. That is the right of Allah the Most High to legislate, to make things lawful, to make things forbidden. That is the right of Allah the Perfect and Most High. And he continues with the ayah, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا, was the ayah from Surah Ali Imran, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا, with the explanation, so if they turn away, Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning, and do not accept the call to Tawheed, فَقُولُوا اشْهَدُوا بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ, the explanation, then say, bear witness that we are Muslims, obedient to Allah, worshipping Him alone. Shaykh Fawzan said, they called them to bear witness that they were upon Tawheed. They were people of Tawheed, Muwahidun. And that they were kuffar, unbelievers. That's what's meant by the ayah. Calling those people of the book who deny, who refuse to accept, to bear witness them that we are people of Tawheed, who worship Allah alone. And to bear witness that they are unbelievers. So they made clear to them the falsity of what they were upon. So this ayah shows al-bara'ah. It shows freeing oneself from the religion of the people of shirk. And to clearly state that. Ishhadu. Bear witness that we are Muslims. This contains the obligation of clearly announcing the falsity of what the people of shirk are upon, and of not remaining silent about it, and of clearly announcing the falsity of shirk, and of refuting its people. Then Sheikh Fawzan brings a summary with some important points, which we'll move on to in a moment inshaAllah. But before that, then again, Sheikh Abdul Muslim Al-Qasim, he mentioned something with regard to this ayah from Surah Ali Imran, that he said, and this noble ayah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to write it in his letters to the kings from the people of the book. He used to write this letter in his letters to the kings. As a side point here, you'll find the proofs for that, that he wrote that indeed in the letter to An-Najashi, the Negus, the Abyssinian king. He wrote this ayah within that letter. The evidence being reported by a Muslim as hadith 1774. Likewise, when he wrote to Qaisar, king of the Byzantines, he wrote this ayah in the letter as well. Hadith being reported by Al-Bukhari, hadith number 2941, and by Muslim. So the Shaykh said, this ayah, this noble ayah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to write it to the kings of the people of the book. And he also used to recite it in the second rak'ah of the sunnah before Fajr. The two rak'ahs of sunnah prayer before Fajr, he used to recite this ayah in the second rak'ah. Hadith being reported by Muslim, from hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. He said, because it comprises a call to a single religion. So all of the messengers, all of the prophets and messengers, alayhi salatu wassalam, agreed. And their calls comprised Tawheed of worship, built upon the worship of Allah alone. And the belief that all of mankind and all of creation, it is not correct for them to worship anything. Although he said it's not correct for them to claim anything from the special qualities of lordship, nor any of the attributes of divinity. So if the people of the book comply and others, if the people of the book and others comply with this, then they will be guided. Otherwise, they will be blindly upon misguidance. Then Shaykh Fawzan, to continue with the explanation of Shaykh Fawzan, he said, and in summary, so he's finished explaining the ayah, then he says, and in summary, so he's given the two ayahs the author brought, explaining the meaning of La ilaha illallah, none has a right to be worshipped except Allah. Then he said, and in summary, La ilaha illallah, none has a right to be worshipped except Allah, has two pillars, and they are an-nafi, negation, and al-ithbat, affirmation. I mean, the shahada, it negates something, denies something, and it affirms something else. So if it is said to you, what are the pillars of La ilaha illallah, then say, an-nafi wal-ithbat. These pillars are negation and affirmation. Then he moves on to another very important point. He says, and its conditions, its shurut. Well, no doubt the shahada has conditions. La ilaha illallah has conditions. He said, its conditions are seven. It will not benefit. Saying the shahada will not benefit except with these conditions. And just as a side point there, Al-Hafidh Al-Hakami, he made an important point here, that these seven conditions for the shahada, what is not desired is just merely that the person memorizes them. He memorizes the list and that's it. Rather, what's desired is that a person is actually upon them. He actualizes, he's aware of them and actualizes them, makes sure he puts these and implements these. Whether he can memorize them or not is another matter, but he is upon them. In his saying of La ilaha illallah, he's implementing these seven. Not just, he said, because how many people are who can memorize the list, but they don't implement them they don't implement them. So the point of Shaykh al-Fawzan, he said, and its conditions, it has conditions, which are seven. It will not benefit except with these conditions. and someone has written them in a line of poetry and said, علم يقين وإخلاص وصدقك مع محبة وانقياد والقبول لها. Knowledge, certainty, purity and sincerity, and you're being truthful, along with love and compliance and acceptance of them. علم يقين وإخلاص وصدقك مع محبة وانقياد والقبول لها. Knowledge and certainty, purity and sincerity, and you're being truthful, along with love, compliance and acceptance of it. Then Shaykh Fawzan, Habibullah, he explains them one by one. He said, so al-ilm, the first condition, al-ilm, conditions for la ilaha illallah, person saying la ilaha illallah, being upon it. First condition is knowledge of it, knowledge of its meaning. So the first condition is al-ilm, knowledge. And as the Shaykh from before as well, what they do, they mention the condition and they mention the opposite of it, to make it very clear what is meant by it. They said, so knowledge, al-ilm, its opposite is al-jahl, its opposite is ignorance. So the person who says la ilaha illallah with his tongue, but he is ignorant of its meaning, then la ilaha illallah will not benefit him. And a person who says la ilaha illallah, and you ask him, what does it mean? I don't know. It will not benefit him. He doesn't have a clue what it means. He just says it upon his tongue. Secondly, al-yaqeen, certainty. So, or such that he does not have any doubt. Because some people may know its meaning. However, they have a doubt about that. So his knowledge is not correct. He must have yaqeen, he must have certainty of la ilaha illallah. None has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that it is true. He must have certainty in it. He must know its meaning from the first one. He has knowledge of its meaning. And then he must be certain of that meaning. Not be doubtful. I've heard it said that, and I don't know what some people say. He must be certain of that meaning. Having no doubt that it is true. Thirdly, the third condition, al-ikhlas, purity and sincerity. Shaykh said, its opposite is ash-shirk. Its opposite is shirk, purity and sincerity of worship. Its opposite is shirk. He said, some people say la ilaha illallah, but they do not abandon shirk. You find them being people who commit shirk. As is presently the case today, with the worshippers of the graves, those people will not be benefited by la ilaha illallah, by the saying, none has the right to worship except Allah, by the saying, la ilaha illallah. Because from its conditions, is abandoning shirk. In the meaning of the shahada is abandoning shirk, but they still persist upon it. They say it upon their tongues, but they don't abandon shirk. The fourth condition, as-sidq, being truthful. Being truthful in saying it. He said its opposite is al-kadhib, falsehood, lying. He said, because the munafiqoon, the hypocrites, they say it. Because the hypocrites, those who are outwardly or unbelievers, but they pretend to be Muslims, they say la ilaha illallah. But they don't believe it. They're not truthful when they say it. He said, they say, the hypocrites, they say la ilaha illallah, but they are liars in their hearts. They do not believe its meaning. They're liars because in their hearts they don't believe its meaning, even though they say it. Allah the Most High said, إذا جاءك المنافقون قالوا نشهد إنك لرسول إنك لرسول الله والله يعلم إنك لرسول والله يشهد إن المنافقين لكاذبون اتخذوا أيمانهم جنة. سورة المنافقون, the 63rd surah, ayahs 1 and 2, the first two ayahs, with explanation. When the hypocrites come to you, they say, we bear witness that you are the messenger of Allah indeed. But Allah knows that you are indeed his messenger. And Allah bears witness that the hypocrites are liars. They take their oaths as a shield to screen them. point that Sheikh Farah, hafidhullah, when he was here, made the point that what are they, liars? They're not liars with regard to what they say upon their tongues. When they say, the hypocrites say, la ilaha illallah, they're not liars in what they're saying, they're liars in the fact that they don't believe it in their hearts. That they're saying upon their tongues is opposite to what is in their hearts. That is the sense in which they're liars. Then the fifth condition of la ilaha illallah is al-mahabba, love, having love for it and its people. As Shaykh al-Fawzan said, al-mahabba, and love. That the person loves this saying and is a wali, is an ally to its people. As for the person who does not love it, or does not love its people, then it will not benefit him. The person who is enemy to the people of Tawheed, is enemy to this saying, an enemy to the people of upon Tawheed, will not benefit him. The sixth condition, wal-inqiyad, and al-inqiyad, compliance. The person complies with it. Sheikh Fawzan said, it is the opposite of al-i'rad wa-tarak. Compliance with it is the opposite of turning away from it and abandoning it. And it is complying with what it indicates, what this saying indicates, with regard to worshipping Allah alone and not associating anything with Him, and complying with His commands. So since you have acknowledged and have borne witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, then it becomes binding upon you to comply with His rulings and His religion. As for your saying La ilaha illallah, but then you do not comply with the rulings that Allah has legislated and with His legislation, then La ilaha illallah will not benefit you. And seventhly, wal qabool, acceptance. So I said, meaning acceptance which negates ar-rad, rejection. You accept it and don't reject it. Such that you do not reject anything from the rights of La ilaha illallah and whatever it indicates. Rather, that you accept everything which it indicates. Or you accept everything which La ilaha illallah indicates. You accept it correctly. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan makes a point, meaning many of the people of knowledge, they mention seven conditions for the Shahada, La ilaha illallah. And he mentions that some people add an eighth condition here. And an eighth condition is added. Then he quotes a line of poetry in that regard. وَزِيدَ ثَامِنُهَا الْكُفْرَانُ بِمَا مَعَ الْإِلَهِ مِنَ الْأَشْيَاءِ قَدْ أُلِيهَا. And the eighth one is added. I mean, an eighth condition is added by some scholars. An eighth one is added. In other words, that some scholars understand it to already be within the meaning of the first seven. And some scholars make it because it's important, so they make it a separate eighth condition. And he said, and the eighth is added, rejecting whatever things are worshipped besides the one who is truly worshipped. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, al-bara'a min ash-shirk, freeing oneself from shirk. So the person will not be a muwahid, will not be a person of tawheed, until he frees himself from shirk. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ لِعَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ إِنَّنِي بَرَاءٌ مِّمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ. Of course, the ayah that we began with, from Surah Zukhruf, the 43rd Surah, ayah 26, with the explanation, and when Ibrahim said to his father and to his people, I am totally free of whatever you worship. And Shaykh Fawzan said, these are the conditions of La ilaha illallah. Eight conditions. There are eight conditions. So he mentioned the seven. I mean, many of the scholars mention seven. Then he mentions some of them add the eight. And Shaykh himself mentions, so his conditions are actually eight. Conditions that we need to know and implement. And there's a possibility that we could be asked questions about the conditions, and we'll see, inshallah. As for what follows, then. then the proof for testification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, the second part of the Shahada. We'll take that next time, inshaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Subhanallah.